The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Start knowing that you've been made right with God through the sacrifice of Christ, and then let that righteousness that he's put in you be worked out through you as you walk with God. And every day you'll get better and better and better and better. But if all you do is sit around and think about everything that's wrong with you, you're never going to make any progress.
Encourage single parents to keep the Lord first with the long goal in mind. And the long goal is that your children establish a legacy that outlasts you.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers. Hi, everyone. One of the most important parts of a life with God is also one of the most difficult aspects of our relationship with him. Ask yourself this question: do I trust God? Okay, I'm sure many of you probably said yes. That may not be the hardest part, so let's dig a little deeper. Do you trust God more than you trust your feelings? Well, today Joyce tells you why you should.
If you think about a baby, the first thing they do is learn how to sit up. And sitting represents entering the rest of God. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. When he ascended on high, he sat down. That's actually very important. He sat down because he finished what he was sent to do, and he entered the supernatural, amazing rest of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6 that we, you and I, are also seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, what that means is we actually live in two places at the same time. Obviously, I'm here on the platform, you can see me, but internally, in my heart, in my soul, I'm seated in heavenly places tonight because I'm trusting God and have entered the rest of God concerning everything that goes on here. So my body's here, but my heart is seated in heavenly places with Christ, trusting him to do what only he can do. Now, you can live that way. You can live seated in heavenly places. You can parent from a position of rest. You can be in difficult situations, do all the crisis demands, and still be in the rest of God internally. You know, your real life is in you. It's not what's going on around you. Your real life is in you. And you can have wonderful circumstances and no peace and be miserable. You can have lousy circumstances and have peace and have a wonderful life. So let's don't look so much to our circumstances as to our heart. If our heart's right with God, then everything else is going to work. Our relationship with God is walked out in a journey. And I think, because now I've been walking with God for a long, long time, I think a lot about my journey. And it's amazing all the things that have happened over the 40 years that I've been in a serious relationship with God. I was saved a long time before that, but I wasn't serious. And I like to talk about that because I think a lot of people just kind of go to church and go home, go to church and go home. You say, are you a Christian? Well, I go to church. Well, you know, that doesn't really mean anything if it's not affecting your life. Amen. And you're not living it out in your everyday life. So tonight we want to talk about what the Bible says about walking. First of all, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we're to walk in faith. To walk by faith, we must trust God more than we trust our feelings, more than we trust our sight, more than we trust our circumstances, more than we trust other people. Walking by faith requires great courage because we serve an invisible God. It's a little touchy learning how to hear from God, learning how to know what God wants you to do, and like it or not, anybody that's going to walk in faith, eventually you're going to have to kind of step out and find out if you're hearing from God or not. So we learn from the Word of God, and we learn by our experiences with God. So I think it takes a lot of courage real courage to be led by the Spirit. Because sometimes when you're being led by the Spirit, what you feel in your heart, really feel in your heart God wants you to do, certainly doesn't make any sense to anybody else, and it doesn't even always make that much sense to your mind. Being led by the Spirit means that you trust God to lead you by your heart, and you make choices. Come on, we're back to choices. You make choices to do what you really believe God wants you to do, not what you feel like or don't feel like doing. If there's anything that gets Christians off track, it's feelings and emotions. When God invited me to live by faith, I was very, very frightened. I felt that God had led me to lay down a good full-time job in order to stay home with my kids and study the Bible, because I felt like he was calling me to teach and I didn't know anything. The only way we learn is by going through things. And so I remember, I still vividly remember, I was walking down my little hallway one day. I hadn't been quit my job very long. I had a Bible study in my home. I'd been studying a lot for that. It was on Tuesday night, people were coming, and I was so scared about our money that my knees literally kind of started to give way when I was walking down the hall. Has anybody ever been that scared? And God spoke to my heart. He said, you got two choices here. You can live by faith and let me take care of you, or you can spend your life trying to take care of yourself. I want to live that supernatural life where amazing things happen that nobody can explain except to say it had to be God in my life. And I really want you to understand just how frighteningly plain and ordinary Dave and I are. I mean, when I think about where we started and I see what God is doing now, it's like, it's been totally the fruit of a walk of faith. And so many stepping out and that was good, I'll take another step. Oops, that didn't work, I'll step back. It's been a life of gain and loss and hard times and good times and learning some very difficult lessons. But it's been wonderful. Don't trade the life that God has for you because you want to try to take care of yourself your whole life. You're afraid to walk by faith. We need to walk by faith. Only faith pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is the work that God requires of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. That's our work, to walk in faith, to get up every day and to go from faith to faith to faith to faith. Romans 1:17, in the word of God, there is a righteousness revealed that comes from faith and leads to faith. I believe by faith that I've been made right with God. Not because I do everything right, not because I always feel right, not because everybody else thinks I'm right, because the word of God says that I'm right with God, and you're right with God through faith in Christ. You're right with God. You can stop worrying about what's wrong with you. Start knowing that you've been made right with God through the sacrifice of Christ, and then let that righteousness that he's put in you be worked out through you as you walk with God. And every day you'll get better and better and better and better. But if all you do is sit around and think about everything that's wrong with you, you're never going to make any progress. Come on, you're no surprise to God, and neither am I. He's not like, oh no, I didn't know you're going to be like this. Amen. Boy, these scriptures are so good. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the leaning of your entire human personality on him, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and of the love with which you have and show for all the saints. So Paul said, listen, we've heard about your faith and we've heard about your love. You know, if anybody talks about me, I don't want them just to say, oh yeah, she's that well-known TV preacher. I'd like them to say, you know, Joyce is a woman of faith and she loves people. These people were well-known for their faith and their love. Verse 5, because Why did they walk in faith and love? Because of the hope of experiencing what is laid up, reserved, and waiting for you in heaven. Why did they make the hard choices? Because they were looking for the thing that was to come. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know in all my years of preaching if I've ever taught a whole message on heaven or eternity. But I feel that God wants me to talk about it a little bit more. Because I think it will energize us to realize that what we've got right now is not all there is to it. And to be honest, if you get the very best version of this, whatever your this is, you get the best version of this that you can possibly have, and it's nothing compared to eternity. It's nothing compared to where we're headed. And I know that many times the things that are important to us is what we can see and feel and touch and experience right now, but we got to learn to see with the eye of faith. And you know what? I'm getting to the point where I'm not having such a hard time living according to what I don't see and walking by faith, because to be real honest, I'm not caring all that much anymore about what I do see. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, let's walk like Christians. Let's act like Christians. Let's stand up for one another. Let's defend one another. Don't join in on the vulture party. Because of the hope of experiencing what is laid up for us in heaven. Now, Philippians 4, 5. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. Why? The Lord is near. He's coming soon. How embarrassing would it be to be mad the day that Jesus came back? When Dave and I were first married, and I just had such an awful temper. I mean, I was mad more than I was glad. And sometimes I get mad and wouldn't talk to the guy for days on end, or sometimes even a couple of weeks. And one day he looked at me and he said, "Wouldn't it be pitiful if this is how you spent your last day on earth?" Just saying. How would your life change if you thought Jesus was coming tomorrow morning? I mean, let's think like this. Let's begin to live like this. What is it that's so important to me now that maybe wouldn't be important at all if Jesus was coming tomorrow morning? But no, he said, "I'm going to come like a thief in the night, but I want you to live like I'm coming at any moment." That's one of the reasons why he doesn't tell us when he's coming back. He wants us to live every day like it's any minute. Amen.
Well, trusting in God more than in our feelings is not always easy, but as you just heard Joyce talk about, it really is what makes a huge difference in your life. I'm sure there were many times that Dave felt differently, but he chose to trust God. And I'm sure there are many times that you have felt one way, but God has held on to you when you really needed it most. Did you know that God's Word is filled with scriptures on the benefits of trusting God? He doesn't expect us to just do it on our own. He will help us. And Joyce's new book, called Unshakable Trust will guide your study of this much-needed element in our relationship with God. This is Joyce's newest book, and in this book, you'll learn not only the why, but the how. Trusting God in difficult circumstances. In fact, let me tell you about a couple of these chapters because they're so helpful. Trusting God when things are not going well, when people are suffering. How do I trust God during times of change? She talks about the folly of self-reliance. That's just like Joyce, just hit it hard and tell you what really matters. And this book will hit those different aspects of your life that you just need encouragement to hold on to God, to know that He's there, and to realize the benefit of trust. This book is available to you right now for a gift of any amount. And that is because we know how huge trust is. We want to get this book into your hands. And we just ask you to do your very best. Give whatever you can. And maybe some of you can give a little bit more to help someone else to be able to get this book. But the important thing is that you get into the Word. You know, if anyone understands leaning on God and trusting Him for all things, it is probably single mothers who often feel very alone if it were not for God's faithfulness. Pastor John Gray was raised by a single mother and says her trust in God made him the man he is today. Pastor John Gray is here with us in the house. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It is my honor.
We know that there are many people who are watching right now who are looking to fill some sort of void that they see as a void in their life. And they're often asking those questions, you know, how do I meet that need that I didn't have? In your life, you were raised without a father. But you had a mother that did it so beautifully.
Yes.
That you said you didn't really feel that as a void. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, you don't know what you don't have if it's never been introduced. My mother and father divorced when I was about 4 and a half. My mother was determined to raise me to know the Lord. She was then and is now a phenomenal woman of God, committed to prayer, committed to the Word. I'm talking hours a day. And what my mother told me in hindsight, because of course when you're young, these are not conversations that you have, but she said that the Lord would give her clues to my destiny. Or who I was to become. And so she would frame how she was raising me based on what the Lord was telling her in observation and in prayer. And so there was a very clear spiritual foundation, but there also had to be some practical application. My mother was often the only African-American woman in a sea of white faces, and that was by design. She was determined to be a bridge builder. She was always able to do that in her personal and professional lives, and that was something that framed who I would become. I didn't know that I would be a part of the Lakewood Church team, which is the most diverse church in this country, to be able to speak to a multi-ethnic, multi-denominational, multi-generational congregation, having grown up under the tutelage and nurturing of an African-American woman in Cincinnati. But God saw the future, and because my mother was obedient to listen to the Holy Spirit, I was able to really kind of sidestep some of the landmines that some of my other friends and peers were caught in. And so God filled in those gaps. It wasn't like I always heard God's voice like a supernatural way. It wasn't a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. It was just a still small voice. But really, my mother emphasized guarding my eyes, guarding my ears, and my relationship. She was very, very involved. She did not allow the enemy space. I'm talking about at 12 years old, 13, she was like, you're going to be a virgin when you get married. I'm like, oh, there we go. That's fine. Fine by me.
Yeah.
And then when I started dating and wanted to kind of get serious, there were moments where my mother just, she just would pray and the girl would magically just kind of go disappear. I'm like, Mom, stop praying. I really liked her. And there was one time I was dating a young lady and I just thought she was dreamy. And the young lady asked my mother a question. She said, you seem to be nice. You're very nice, but you haven't yet fully, you know, connected. And she said, well, it's nothing against you, honey. You're just not what I prayed for. I'm like, yikes. So dinner is ruined tonight.
Guess this date is over.
What I realized, and she was very kind. She said, I've prayed specific things. He's my only son. And he has a legacy and a calling on his life. And there are certain things that the Lord promised me. And God has a great plan for you and your life. But I know what the Lord has on his life.
Wow.
And so this is the type of mother that I was blessed to be raised by. Now, none of us had a clue that God would do what he's doing in my life right now. But she had enough clues to push me in that direction.
Now, how many single parents out there right now wouldn't love to hear their child years down the road say the things that you're saying about your mother? So the question is, did she feel like she was missing something in her life? Was she praying for that father figure, for that husband, for her?
That's interesting. My mother said something to me that was really profound, because I'm like, Mom, you're beautiful. You're a professional woman. She's got her degree. She went to school at night while working full time, ended up graduating with honors with her social work degree. And during that time, I'm like, Mom, don't you want to get married again? She said, of course I do. I would love that. She said, but if it's not purposed, then I'm going to focus on the Lord. And it sounded very nice because, you know, religious people lie. I'm just waiting on Jesus. But she really meant it. She was very, very concerned about the example she was setting before me. She believed in holiness. And she told me many times, I'd rather die than dishonor God in my body. Mm. She said, I have to be an example for you, but I love God more. And so if a gentleman wanted to court her or date her, there were very clear parameters, and people didn't always want to abide by that. And so she's like, I'm fine with the Lord. I'm raising my son to be a man of God and a man of integrity. I'm going to live that in front of, and this is the life that she lived. So I never saw her pining for the love and the relationship. She did want it. She prayed for it, but she was more concerned about fulfilling the purpose of God and the calling of God on her life.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was a profound statement, because a lot of times, single mothers, sometimes they get desperate, and in their desperation and their desire to not feel lonely, they fill the gap with someone who is inadequate for either the children that woman has or the purpose that God has for her life. My mother said, I would rather trust the Lord and be content in my singleness and raise my son than sabotage what God is doing and bring someone in who can't push him forward.
Yeah.
What she did, instead of, you know, being sad for what she didn't have, she filled her time with godly things, serving others. My mother took the scripture literally when Jesus talked about going into the highways and hedges and bringing in those for my banquet. And I'm like, he was talking about the kingdom of heaven and how, you know, God is expanding Israel and salvation's for everybody. She's like, no, we need people in our house that we don't know. So, like, she would literally
need a bigger table.
No, she literally went and got people we didn't know, you know, people who didn't have a home or, you know, just off the street. And we fed them Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. I was like, we could get killed. But it was like, she was like, this is what the word says.
Yeah.
She lived this life then, and it informs my life now. I believe that her purpose, one of her purposes, was to raise me so that I could be who I am today. Now, people don't know her as much as they know me, but they are seeing the product of her prayers, the product of her commitment, her character, her integrity. And so I would encourage single parents to keep the Lord first with the long goal in mind. And the long goal is that your children establish a legacy that outlasts you.
Thank you so much. Those are great encouragements.
It is my honor.
Pastor John is an example of what Joyce talked about earlier, that we must trust God more than our feelings, our circumstances, more than other people. And his mother's trust in God when he was growing up continues to affect his life today and now countless others through his influence. So single mothers, do not give up hope. Trust in God, and God will be right there for you, and he will continue the good work that you have begun. We have this offer for you. I just don't want you you to forget it. This is Unshakable Trust by Joyce. This book is a great way to dig through many different circumstances in life and see what God's Word says about how faithful and trustworthy God is. It will help you through some of your tough times as well. And it's available for you today for a gift of any amount. We want you to get it right now. Now it's time for your voice. Let's hear what you have to say. Well, you, all of our friends on social media, shared with us how God is changing you through what you are currently experiencing. Some of those challenges in life are hard, but we all change and grow through it. And here are some of your responses. Louie from Virginia says, "My faith in God and His timing has deepened since my son was recently diagnosed with autism. My wife and I face daily challenges, but through God's strength and lots of prayers for patience and eyes to see Him, we see daily breakthroughs." Sharon from Georgia says, "I seriously injured my back. I've worked and struggled to regain stability. I'm much more stable now, but I probably will always have some degree of pain. But now I feel that I appreciate the everyday things more. Things like my husband's faithful support when I'm in pain. When things are going well, it is too easy to take that for granted. God showed me that it's important to appreciate what blessings you have always." Nyla from Dallas says, "This might sound weird, but He softened my heart and gave me back my tears." Nyla, I'm sure it makes a lot of sense. And Melinda says, "My faith growing, trusting God is growing love and patience. I thank God for trials, even though they are difficult. It does change who we are into who God created us to be. I've been delivered from many things, and it's amazing the power God has to change us." Well, each one of you and everybody else who posted things about this, we are praying for you. We have such great prayer teams, and they pray over these things as you send them in. And we really do love seeing the good things that God brings out of the difficult things. So today we're asking you to share with us, what are some of the physical problems that you have experienced? And not just so it can be a woe is me kind of thing, but so that you can tell us how God is walking you through it and how He's healed you. Because God is big and He can handle these things. So let's encourage those who are still struggling and be in prayer for their healing. And let's hear what God is doing in your life today. Use Facebook. Go to our Joyce Meyer Ministries Facebook page. You can also use our Instagram page. And just let us know what God is doing. It is very encouraging. And be sure to join us next week on Everyday Answers.
Even if through our own stupidity we did get ourselves in trouble, which is the case a lot of times, God still will help us if we ask Him to.
If you have a question, make sure that you ask it. Sometimes you think, oh, I don't want to bother anybody. We love hearing from you. It's never a bother. If you do it on Twitter, use the hashtag AskJoyce and get those questions to us. You can also use our website, joycemeyer.org, and there's a great place there to submit your questions. Well, trusting God is not always easy. We know it. We're not trying to say that it is. And we understand. We've all been there. But it is always rewarding. So just do your best. Hold on tightly to Him. Trust Him. He is faithful, and allow Him to help you. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.